This is Making Sense of the Media. I'm Scott Finn.
Liberal blogs and most of the mainstream media could just care less about the truth.
There is no liberal media. The media, which is, after all, owned by corporations, naturally leans to the right.
The bias of the mainstream media is towards sensationalism, conflict, and laziness.
And we're joined by Kelly McBride. She's the director of Poynter Institute's Sensemaking Project, which is trying to help you as a media consumer pull the curtain back and show you the forces behind today's media. And today we're going to look at something that's happening more and more with the cuts going on in newspapers, and that is errors and corrections. Kelly, it seems like there are more errors and corrections going on in newspapers and online newspaper sites nowadays. Is that true?
Possibly. It's actually really hard to tell. We should start out by saying errors are bad, corrections are good. And one of my colleagues here at Poynter, Craig Silverman, has a blog called Regret the Error, where he just tracks corrections and how the media is correcting the mistakes that they make. And he never has a shortage of material.
Speaking of corrections, we spoke to one newspaper leader, Lenore DeVore, at the Lakeland Ledger, and we asked her about what's going on with corrections and errors at her newspaper.
So we're seeing more and more of them because not only do we not have the staff to do anything beyond get the paper out, but we're not working slowly enough to be able to catch things as we go along.
So Kelly, I think Lenore is trying to get behind why we're seeing some of these errors. Why might it be happening?
Well, there are certainly fewer people working in newsrooms, yet many of them are putting out roughly the same amount of pages of newsprint. So that means that reporters and editors have to be a lot more productive. In some newspapers, as well as many digital websites, there are no dedicated copy editors anymore who just look for errors and make sure that titles and names and headlines are correct. So staffing is certainly an issue. In addition to that, there's a lot more product to put out. Every newspaper has a digital website. Every digital website updates many times a day, not just once a day. And so the amount of work that is being done is almost endless. And that in and of itself creates an environment where you're just likely to make more mistakes.
Newspapers and even other media, like here at WUSF, we have blogs. I know Poynter has blogs as well. Are those blogs being edited by other people than the people that are writing them, or are they often just being published going out into the world without having an extra set of eyes on them?
Well, interestingly enough, the whole reason that we decided to look at this issue at the Sensemaking Project is because since we track corrections worldwide, we thought we would do an audit of our own corrections and see what kind of mistakes we are making. Everything that we do is edited, and most of the editors that I talked to this week said that rarely does information go up on the web or into the newspaper without a second or third set of eyes editing it. However, that's not always enough. We made a mistake this week where we got a title wrong, and it was because the editor, when she was checking the title, went to the company's website, and the company's website was actually wrong, and so she changed what the reporter had written to match the company's website, and the company's website had not been updated to reflect the most recent title of the individual that we were quoting. So there are a million ways to get information wrong, and usually there's only one way to get it right.
Yeah, Lenore DeVore at the Lakeland Ledger, she had an example. She talks about a time when she took a day off and she came back and this is what met her.
You know, my voicemail was filled from angry readers, and they had every right to be, because we had used the word Medicaid in the lead story on A1 in the headline instead of Medicare. The whole story was based on Medicare.
There are lots of these stories out there. There was the Greenville News, which is a newspaper in South Carolina, that recently accidentally put the F-bomb, let's just say, in a newspaper article, and it was in print. It's there forever. So how are different media entities dealing with errors and corrections?
almost every professional media organization requires that when a mistake happens, most news websites put the correction in the story. So they'll correct the information and then note on the story that the information was corrected. In a printed publication, you usually see the corrections on page 2 where they say, hey, you know, we got this address wrong or this title wrong or the title of this government assistance program wrong. So it depends on the medium what the best way to correct information is, but it's one of the hallmarks of the professional media that they do correct their information.
And Kelly, do we see some of the non-traditional media that's springing up, blogs and other sort of websites, are they doing as good of a job making corrections?
They usually don't have as formal of a system for making corrections. Now, some bloggers do. Some bloggers use strikethroughs and are super transparent about when they've made a mistake. Let me tell you how I can fix this. However, I talked to one local blogger here, Peter Schorsch, who runs St. Peter's Blog, which is a local political blog. And he has a loosely articulated corrections policy where he goes in and makes the changes, and he relies on his audience to help him recognize errors. But he doesn't have anywhere near the formal system that you might see at the Lakeland Ledger or the St. Petersburg Times. Now, he's one guy, so that's understandable. And he's not getting a formal paycheck out of this, so it makes it even more understandable. But for the audience, oftentimes they look at a blogger who's reporting on the news in the same light that they might look at a professional reporter.
So, Kelly, what does it matter to the people that are listening right now, to the average reader and consumer of news? Why does it matter that our traditional news sources are struggling to keep up accuracy and deal with errors?
Let me just say that I think traditional news sources have always struggled, and whether or not they're struggling more really depends from shop to shop. But one of the reasons that it matters is that in this information age, where as an audience member, I'm literally standing at the end of a fire hose of information every day. I'm getting it from my phone, from my computer, from printed publications, from my television. I have a really hard time discerning what's true and what isn't true. And there is a lot of bad information out there. So one of the things that's really important for democracy is for the people who are creating that information to make corrections when they get the information wrong. Because if we get to the point where the public can't trust any information, then we're going to be at a really susceptible point in democracy where I don't know that we can function as a democratic society if we can't trust the information we're receiving.
All right. Is there anything else that you want to say? Anything else that we didn't talk about you wanted to make sure got said?
You know, so I talked to a handful of editors in the local area. And interestingly enough, you know, the St. Petersburg Times has noted a decrease in the number of corrections that they're making by a substantial amount, anywhere between 30% and 40% from year to year.
How can that be when they're facing some of the same pressures and contractions as the rest of the industry?
Well, one of the reasons I think, and I didn't have time to explore this, but I suspect that one of the reasons is that they've actually cut out a couple of sections over the last couple of years. So if you are producing less information, then I think you would naturally have fewer corrections. I used to struggle with this as a police reporter because when I was in the newsroom, I had the highest correction rate of all the reporters that I worked with. And I felt really horrible about that. But then we figured out it was because I was writing the most copy. I was turning out police stories 3 and 4 a day, where most of my peers were doing more complicated stories, but only one a day, if that. And so it is hard to judge, like if I'm a newspaper and I have 50 corrections this month, it's really hard to judge whether that's a higher rate or a lower rate compared to last month, because you have to compare it against the amount of information you produce. And that is rarely tracked, that actual correction rate per inches of copy or per number of bylines. That's rarely tracked.
Kelly McBride is director of the Poynter Institute's Sense Making Project, helping make sense of the media. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.